In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit-riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
Title of the message today is Band of Evildoers. And the text is what we've already read, but I might read a scripture again. It's from Psalms 22. Verse 16. And we'll read on down through verse 20. It says, "For dogs have surrounded me." I've been talking to you in this series on deception about this Amalekite, dirty, damnable, spell-casting dogs. "A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But thou, O Lord, be not far off. O thou, my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword and my only life from the power of the dog." Every dog has his day. Well, someday you dogs will have your day in hell because you are making it a hellish place in this earth today. As you do the bidding of your father, the devil, who steals, kills, and destroys. And so I said at the beginning, and by the way, have you done it? No, some of you have not done it. Some of you have not prayed the deception prayer that I've been telling you about, nor have you prayed the prayer, "Deliver me from the power of the dog," because you are not under anybody's power. You're just your own man. You're very capable of handling yourself. And by the way, you've studied your Bible so much, you know more than the old preacher boy up here. You just don't understand why God hasn't let you up here instead of me. Some of you, I'm talking to somebody out there, I'm letting the Holy Spirit lead. You know who I'm talking to. The reason you're not here and I am, because you haven't paid the price. I had to get that off my chest. I know it wasn't there to begin with, but the Spirit just led me to tell you that. Now, nobody accuses your preacher of being charming or Sweetie Petey. But I'll tell you one thing, if you want the truth, and if I know it, I'll sure try to tell you. Well, you could make it a little more palatable. I suppose I could, and I try. But you know, I found that there is a group out there. It's what God calls the elect, the elite, They just want it, and they're just like they can take that old corn whiskey straight. They want the truth straight. They don't have to have it a little sweetened up so it doesn't offend and ruffle my feathers. And here's a truth that you need to know. We're kind of going to go to the chewing the cud review here. But the truth that you need to know is that as we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, churches are not interested in truth. No one's accused this preacher of being a fast learner. It took me a long time to learn that. I guess it's because I just love the truth. When I found out the truth, for example, of baptism for remission of sins, I didn't hesitate at all. This young man that came all the way from Iowa, drove 10 hours to get here, well, he did it. He's doing it. God will honor that. Because when I finally saw it, like I told you in times, sermons past, it was midnight when I got baptized. I wasn't going to waste any time on it. I just wanted the truth. But the truth is, churches are not interested in the truth. That's what took me a long time to figure that out. They're interested in feelings. One of my Acres Diamond men pointed this out to me. He said, "There, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you've got to have a counterfeit, and the counterfeit is either feelings or ritual." I said, "Man, that's good." I said, "I'm going to use that, and they're going to think I'm smart." But I know he listens to my message, so I got to give him credit. But he's right. There's a couple of things that hold them in the churches. It's either their feelings or their rituals. But I found a group somewhere along the line that they and all they want is the truth. Just give it to them. I don't have to be charming. I don't have to be sweetie peety. I just have to be truthful. Now, the truth is that if in a time that we're living in, which is the last days, and some people out there are so concerned, everything from Planet X to Mr. Obama's goose-stepping commie Nazis, whatever, coming to get them. And no one seems to be concerned about the coming of the Lord. Have you noticed that? I tell you what, I'm just kind of letting spirit lead here a little bit, but I want to tell you what Miss Nancy and I did a couple weeks ago. The Radio Ranch is at an elevation about 7,300 feet. And that's not really conducive to fruit trees. But we found out there were some trees that were bred for that altitude and the kind of weather that we have up there. And we went out and planted us a little orchard, didn't we? I figured this is my way of protest against the system. You know why? Because I stay, you go. We won the war. And that's the way you got to stand. I don't let Planet X do what it wants. Let them do what they planning on doing. I know that my Lord's a coming, and I'm a standing, and I am looking forward to continuing on, because the Bible says, as I taught in Sunday school class here today, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen? And then I taught my Sunday school class, as you people were getting taught out here, what the word meek means. It means teachable. And I'm teaching you something right now, that the truth is, according to the writings, Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Apostle Paul, churches are not interested in truth. Isn't that amazing? This is what Paul said. He said, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." And don't sing, just preach. That's Peter's paraphrase. No. "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And so, we are at that time where truth is the churches are not interested in truth. And if you find a church that still preaches the truth, it will be small in number. But praise God, the numbers have increased all across this land. Because the truth is, some of you have been willing to support. Now, some of you aren't. And I'm going to say shame on you. Some of you are actually supporting other churches that don't preach the truth. And then you come to this church through the internet, DVD or CD or satellite, and try to get truth. But you don't support us. But because there are some people that support us, and we have a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week now radio network going, we have men being reached, like this young man that came from Iowa. They say they love Jesus. Jesus said, and this is a point of review from the last message, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Now, I want to tell you something that I get fed now. I have found that it's true that if you will freely give, God will see that you're freely given back. My Acres of Diamond men give me things back. The other day, one of my Acres of Diamond men said to me, he says, who is the greatest deceiver? And most would probably say who? Huh? Satan. Most would say Satan. He is a great deceiver. But you know, well, there's one greater. Satan can't outdo God. Your God is the greatest deceiver of them all. Oh, you didn't like that, did you? Well, it's the truth. I can show you scriptures on it. But maybe the one that we need to look at is, where is it? I'm going to have you pull it up. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll start with verse 9. We've read that scripture before. And then we'll read on. But I want you to know this, that in those churches, they will not receive a love of the truth so as to be saved. We read. It says, the one who's coming is in accordance with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. See, leave it right there. Get that down. Notice it wasn't just truth that they didn't receive. You can bring it back to me and then we'll come right back to it. They didn't receive truth. But, you know, Jesus once said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. If he is the truth, then the truth is they don't love Jesus if they don't love the truth. Amen? Oh, but they love to tell you how they love Jesus. No, I'm telling you the truth. If you love Jesus, you'd love the truth. And you know, you'd love the truth so as to be saved. And so this man of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that I've been teaching on, he takes and he rules on his own authority as he sits in the temple, in that seat. And he says, you don't have to travel 10 hours to come to get baptized. You don't have to do that. Just raise your hand and say the sinner's prayer and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And, you know, the truth is all the people want to believe the lie, and they won't receive a love of the truth. So what does God do? I'll tell you what he does as we go back to the next scripture. Next scripture says, and for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence that they might believe what is false. King James says that they might believe a lie. What is that saying? God will deceive them. I want to tell you something. Of the two creatures made, male and female, it's been my observation. Now, I might be wrong. This is not scripture. This is just Peter's opinion, okay? Of the two, the woman can be more deceitful than the man. Any amens? No? Any amens? Well, the Lord's bride thinks she can deceive him. Oh, I love you, honey. I love you. And the Lord says, you know, with your lips, you say one thing, but your heart is far from me. He wants you to love him with all your heart. Amen? He wants your heart. He wants his bride to give him his heart, but she gives him the talk, not the walk, so to speak. And as a result, she thinks she can deceive, and the Lord says, if you're going to deceive, guess who can out-deceive you? To me, it comes together, does it not? And so God is the greatest deceiver. Best thing you could do is take the advice and pray the deception prayer. Lord, forgive me for being deceived. Because not only that, when you are deceived, guess what you are? You are a deceiver. Because those deceived people are turning around and winning people to their church and telling those people to accept Jesus. When the Bible says if you want to be saved, you must repent. I'm assuming you already believe, just as Peter did, and be baptized. And that's what this young man's going to do. Now, the band of evildoers, who are they? Here is the truth. I need to be moving on. I got a lot of points to cover. But we need to cover this point. I've made it before, but get it down. Evil always disguises itself as what? Good. It always disguises itself as good. And where do you find the good people at in our society today? In the good little churches. And they're the biggest band of evildoers you've ever found. Because they will not receive a love of the truth so as to be saved. Now, I've already pointed out to you that band of Amalekites, these preachers that are in the pulpits. And I've told you, and I'm going to tell you again, you mess around with them, oh, we like to go over there because it's a fellowship, and let's be honest with it, mommy likes to go over there. Okay? Let's just be honest. And so, we the kids have friends and so forth and so on. You mess around, and those dirty dogs have power, and they'll steal your kids, they'll steal your wife, and they'll gild you. Any amens? That's the way it works. And so, that's a band of evildoers that needs to be addressed. There needs to be some back truths as we chew on the cud a little bit being addressed. The dirty dog Amalekite is Esau. But you'll find that in Psalms 83, which I've preached on before, of course, the only land that these pulpits in our land today talk about is the land of the Israelites. Heavy emphasis on the lie because that it is a lie that those people are God's chosen people. Now, I want to tell you, when the Jews speak of us, they talk about us as Goyim. Now, you think that the word Goyim, they'll tell you, well, that means nations. No. To them, it means cattle. And in their own circles, they'll call us dumb Goyim. And it occurred to me, that is indeed, they understand the power of words. And so when you refer to the Jew today, you should do this. They refer to us as dumb Goyim. We should refer to them as simply be scriptural. Don't be naughty. Be scriptural. Antichrist Jews. The Bible says anyone that denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the what? But the pulpits in our land today say, no, those people are God's chosen people. The very people that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, you people tell me if I'm not right on the mark that those men behind the pulpits are the dirty dog Amalekites who are on the other side. The other side of a war that is waging. Wake up, amen? You mess around with them. And some of you, Shame on you that you'd support them. These dirty dogs have power of the dog. Why do you suppose Jesus, as he hung on the cross, prayed, "Deliver me from the power of the dog"? What was he talking about? We'll figure it out as we go on in the sermon. But you'll find out that the land that is being invaded, according to the prophetic psalm, Psalm 83, you read it, has a coalition, a conspiracy of men. At the head of it is old Esau Edom. And listed in the ranks is Amalek. And Amalek's a dirty dog, but he has a power, the power of dogs. We've talked about the power of words. They use the word dumb goyim, so they will dumb us down. There's power in words. There's power in music. There's power in prayer, their music. There's power in their prayer. Just like there's power in our music and power in our prayers, there is power in ritual. If some of you got caught up ignorantly because you thought you could get ahead in life and you went ahead and took those Masonic oaths, Jesus will forgive you. Just repudiate them and ask him to forgive you and get out of it. But those rituals will that those men go through, from having the loop put on their head and a hood over their head and pulled in, that's part of the ritual of masonry. Those rituals hold, just like in the Catholic Church. The reason people get held there is through the rituals. Those rituals in the Catholic Church will hold them as strong there as the emotionalism in these phony costalism churches will hold them over there on the other side. And there is power in hate. Now, I pointed out to you last week, remember the illustration about how I hated those redcoats and I didn't understand why? It had to do with the DNA. I want to tell you something. I don't have any love for Indians either. And I think it goes back to the fact that my grandma, not my great-grandma, I'm talking about my grandma. She was very elderly and I never did meet her. I was still a baby when she died. But my brother, who was 7 years older than I, he did, and she would tell him Indian stories. And there were ugly stories. One of them was when they lived on a sod house on the plains and the Indians attacked. And one time I was sitting up there at Frontier Days years ago and they had these Indians out there, Ogallala Sioux, doing the dance. Everybody's sitting there watching. And I'm saying to the guy next to him, I said, can you imagine that? It wasn't very many years ago. They were scalping our people and raping our women and taking them, and some woman in front of me heard me talking. She turned around, and she looked at me, and she says, well, they were here first. I said, lady, that don't make any difference. It's just a matter of who's going to be here last. But you see, it carries in the DNA. Did you know that your government has passed a law? I've been going to preach on it, never gotten around to it. It's several months old now. Where every newborn baby has this DNA taken and tested, and they have it cataloged in their computers. Oh, they'll tell you. Remember, evil always disguises itself as good, and they'll tell you it's for their own good, you know, so we know any pre-genetic dispositions, this and that. I'll tell you what they're doing. Esau Edom is intending to wipe out Jacob, Israel. And he knows or thinks that if he wipes out Jacob Israel, then he gets the birthright back, you see? This war that's going on, and there's power in hate, and there's also power in heredity. And I pointed that out in the last message. Now, I want you to know also that as we deal with this subject of the band of evildoers, that there is power in fear. And there's one band of evildoers. I've already hit the ones behind the pulpit and probably hit them hard enough, and now I've hit the churches. But there's another band that needs to be hit yet, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'll make sure I get to them, this band of evildoers. But they use fear just like an insurance salesman uses fear. If I was a life insurance salesman, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with selling life insurance. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if I was a life insurance salesman, I'd say, you know what's going to happen to your wife and your kids if you die and you don't have any of this insurance policy? You know? Have you ever seen a woman and her kids out in the street, and they go by in the cars and hit mud puddles, and the mud floods into their, what, can you just see your wife right now? And she's knocked down because she's so weak, she can't eat because you didn't buy the insurance policy. Or whatever. Fear works, you see. And then, you got to remember this as we go to Proverbs 26:26. That's a good one to remember. That there is power of these dirty dogs, this band of evildoers that surrounded our Lord. There's power in deception. It says in Proverbs, but you see, they don't want you to know about their hate. And so they disguise their hate. You see, they disguise their hate with a thing, this is Chewing the Cud Review, with a thing called what? Love. And so they would have you to believe that they love Jesus. They love their version of Jesus. But they don't like the one that you read about in Psalms where they take the little children and bash their heads against the rock. David said, how blessed is the one who takes the little ones and bash their heads against... Oh, we don't want to read that scripture here. They got their own vision. They disguise it. It says in Proverbs 26:26, through his hatred, though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Well, Lord, I'm trying to do my part in revealing it, revealing their wickedness. If they're in disguise, where would you find them? How about churches? Churches that do not really have a love for the truth. And I don't want to give you the impression that church isn't important. Because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. We're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to make a point, starting with verse 10, because every now and then there'll be somebody that comes along, and they'll try to tell somebody in my flock, well, we really don't need pastors. We just need to study the Bible on our own. How many of you ever heard people talk about that? You know, when you got people talking like that, you know what you got? You got somebody that's a wannabe pastor. He just wants you to follow him. That's what you want. And now you can believe him, or you can believe the Word of God. And the Word of God says he has established a church, and in that church, guess what he has? The Scripture says, we read it. It says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. I want you to know this preacher does the work of a pastor. He puts out truth like a prophet, and he also does the work of an evangelist. In this most recent Scriptures for America newsletter, and if you read our newsletter at the website, scripturesforamerica.org, or get it in the mail, you can get it free of charge. We don't charge for it. This magazine, I call it Scriptures for America, Dragon Slayer Newsletter Magazine, has an article in it called What Happened? The Yoke Was Removed. I think it's a most profound article. And I also think you'll find that my wife's article in there, Hand Rocked the Cradle, is most interesting in this issue. Where was I going with that? I point out in here that we have been on a 50,000-watt radio station out of Cincinnati, Ohio, called WLW. And WLW reaches multiple millions of people. Now, I'm not saying all those people that geographical area that it reaches are listening, but it's potential. But why am I on it? And why haven't I told anybody about it? It costs the ministry a lot of money to be on this station. I'm on weekly. But I never told anybody because my enemy monitors me. And then they will try to get me kicked off. But if I allow myself to get a track record with the station before they found out, then when they come and say, this guy is a white supremacist, a neo-Nazi, a militant, whoever or whatever they the slander that they use, which is their weaponry, the radio station is less apt to kick me off. But why am I doing it? It's because I do the role of an evangelist. I still reach the new. You were reached, right?
Yes, sir.
2 years ago. I've never seen this man before, but he's reached and he's here and he's going to be in the kingdom today. Because God gave some as pastors and evangelists, and you need to support the ones that are telling the truth. Okay, let's move on because the clock's moving on. Let's go on over to Titus. Here's a truth that we've given that you won't find in churches today. You see, band of evildoers. I talked to a young man this week, and he said to me, I don't know if he was stroking me or not. I don't think he was, but it did kind of feel good, so I'm not sure. But he said, Pastor, he says, you know, what you have done more than anything else for people is you have taught them how to think. And he says, that is a lost art. Well, I want to tell you something that I learned about sheep. Sheep think like sheep. Wow, you are profound, Pastor Peters. Yeah, really something, isn't it? I want to tell you, since I got you so impressed, let me tell you something else. Sheep think, everybody thinks like sheep. Well, the band of evildoers do not. But the churches have told everybody we're all God's what? What a lie! We're all God's children when the Word of God itself says that some are the children of the devil? And you people will go to these churches that lie to you and you love it! Shame on you! You'd better repent because Jesus Christ is coming. Amen. Oh, you might feel good over there, and mommy might like it over there, and the kids might have fellowship over there. But how are you going to like it in hell? That's a hell of a lot longer than you're going to be in church. What got you so stirred up, preacher? Aren't you getting tired of the lies? And then they turn around and attack me and slander me. Oh, they love everybody but me. And do they ever tell the people in the churches? Do they ever say, hey, how many Cretans do we have here? Oh, praise God, we got the Cretans. God loves the Cretans. You Cretans, you're just fine. Where am I going to? Did I say Titus? Let's go to it. It says, one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. I tell you what, if you're a Cretan, don't come around courting my daughter. Richard says mine either. And Jesus says mine either. I mean, you can't help being a Cretan. I want you to notice something, though, from this scripture. The Cretans were not excluded. They were in the church. But there's the true church teaches the truth. And the truth that I've taught you is bloodlines affect the what? They affect the mind. And the bloodline of the Cretans, let's go back to that same scripture, please. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans, this is my paraphrase, because of their blood and DNA, they're a bunch of liars most of the time, a bunch of lazy bums, evil beasts. This is in your Bible. Let's go on. This testimony is true. For this cause, reprove them severely, that they may be sound in the faith. Oh, but Jesus, if I reprove the Cretans, and I got a lot of Cretans. You know, I've got some Cretans in my church, Jesus, and one of them's a banker, and he's a tither. You don't find bankers and tithers in the same combination very often, Lord. I got to reprove him severely? He might not give. But that's the job. You reprove, rebuke, and exhort if you're going to preach the truth. Amen? Go back to that scripture, please. It says, this testimony is true, for this cause reprove them severely, that they may be sound in the faith. Not paying attention to Jewish myths, such as the Jews are God's chosen people, and commandments of men, accept Jesus, your personal Savior, say the sinner's prayer, who turn away from the what? Say it. Truth. They turn away from it. I like this next one. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable, disobedient, and worthless for any good deed. Now that is a band of evildoers, is it not? And guess what? They go to church. If you got Cretan blood in you, you just have more to overcome than the average. But you can do it in Jesus. Amen? I'm not saying you can. I'm just telling you the truth that you got to overcome it. Now, if we go to Psalms 22, let's go to the Psalms. I don't have time. Boy, I got more here than I want. And time is already halfway over. And I want to get to this one part. A band of evildoers. Let's go back to Psalms 22:20. And then from there, write these down. We're going to go to Psalms 55:21 real fast. After we go to Psalms 55:21, we're going to go to Psalm 64, 1 through 5, and then Proverbs 30, verse 14. Rapidly, we go to Psalms 22:20. And this is what it says in Psalms 22:20. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Why would Jesus, as he hung there on the cross, pray to be delivered from the sword? He isn't going to die by the sword. So why would he pray to be delivered from the sword? Esau Edom lives by the what, according to the prophecy? By the sword. Jesus was dying by the sword. How do you say he was dying by the sword? How did he get there? By the sword. Go to the next scripture, and I'll explain what I mean. It says, his speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn, what? Swords. Words are swords. Jesus wanted to be delivered from their words. I can tell you that after it was just as important to be, as he hung on the cross, he knew that his reputation would be smeared and maligned after his death. They would say they came and stole his body. They would say he was a drunken wine bibber. And I tell you what, it's pretty tough on a father when they take and they slander your dead son. But this is what they do because they live by the what? Sword, and sword are words. And let me tell you something, they run in packs. I thank you, you dirty hound dogs, hell hounds, because you see, you couldn't help but pack up together and we got you out of here. Amen? And guess what? I'm still here. And you're out there howling, and you're going to be howling outside the gates because you don't get in the kingdom. Amen? The next scripture, please. It says, hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from the dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the turmoil of those who do iniquity, who have sharpened their tongues like a sword. They aim their bitter speech as their arrow, to shoot from concealment at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. And that's exactly what they did in this war that was going on against Jesus. They said, I know what we can do. We will spread ourselves out in the crowd. We will use our power with the political scene, and we will get the mob mentality up, and we will use words. And he was delivered up by the what? Sword and the power of the dog. And I tell you what, the dogs have power this way. They use it all the time. That's why I have never gone to the website to see in the internet and see what they say about Pastor Peterson. But I know it's not too nice. good, kind, whatever word you want to use. I don't think that's a $5 penalty because it was... I'll work on that. So anyway, George's been fining me $5 every time I use that word. The point is that they use these words and they got power. They have the power to turn your own people against you, and they did that with Jesus. They tried to do that with my flock just recently, not long back. This is the power of the dog. Let's go from there, though. This is old stuff. Let's get to some new stuff. And for this part of the sermon, I'm going to call, I put it in my notes, how do you spell Amalek? I kept having trouble the other day as I was spelling Amalek, that I was spelling A-M-E, and my computer wasn't bringing it up, and so I had to go to my Bible. How do you spell Amalek? Even though I've got a doctorate and 8 years of college, I'm not the best speller. Now, somebody said, well, you're pretty dumb. No, I say you have to be pretty smart to get through that many years of college and not be able to spell. So it's just a matter of perspective. But I found out you spell Amalek A-M-A. And so I come to that part of the sermon. And notice that I have my, can you see it? My stethoscope. There's power in different things, music, so forth and so on, and symbols. You don't think there's power in this symbol? The other day I was talking to a man that was trying to stand up for the, up there in Wyoming, for the midwives, as they, the AMA was trying to close down the midwife operation. And so they came before the legislature there in Wyoming. They had the doctors come in. The doctors got more time than everybody else. And when the doctors came in, guess what they had around their neck? They had this. Notice the power of it? I'm Dr. Peters, and how are you feeling today? Here, let me feel your pulse. Is that a lump I feel? Oh, my. That, you know, you could die of that lump. That could spread. We better do tests on that lump. Yes, that lump. Do you know what could happen if you don't take care of that lump here? Oh, yeah, it's lumpy. It's about time we recognize that they have cast a spell in our mind about doctors. They started out with Dr. Kildare, or what were some of them doctor shows? Come on, help me out. Marcus Welby, wasn't there a? Huh? Ben Case. Ben Case, what? Welby? Help me out here, I don't know. Welby, Marcus Welby, what? ER. Chicago Hope, what else? Huh? House? St. Elsewhere? Emergency? I don't know. I'm not asking, but I remember there was a, wasn't there a Dr. Kildare? Some way back there. That's when I was watching TV way back there. What has been going on? All along they've been programming your mind, these dirty, damnable AMA Amalekites who come to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They don't give a hoot or a holler about your health. But they say it's health care. Satan's system operates off of sickness. Now, they're not only do they come to steal, kill, and destroy. I want to tell you something why they're socialists. Because socialism is what allows them to steal. They say it's for everybody's good. We take a dollar from you and distribute to everybody else. But everybody else gets 10 cents. What happened to the 90? You figure it out. But there's a thing in economics, I've got a degree in economics, that is called psychic income. And there used to be, before the inflation, an old joke back 20-some years ago when I was in agriculture. One farmer saying to another, said, hey, Bill, if you had $1 million, what would you do with it? And he said, oh, I don't know. I guess I just keep farming until it was all gone. In other words, he doesn't farm because he makes money. It's because he has a psychic income. He loves to do it. Well, let me tell you, those that love to do the bidding of their father the devil will disguise themselves as good, and they love to cut and carve on you and tell you it's for your own good. Now, you can take it or leave it. We've got a spell being cast in this land. And I'm going to tell you a story. I could spend a whole sermon on this subject. But it's about time that someone tells the truth about these doctors and all these doctor show programmings that they've programmed into your head. Was there ever one? I'm going to ask because I haven't watched that many of them. Have you ever seen one where they showed the doctor? He was a real quack and he was just making money off of, he would tell people that he was doing surgery and charging them $60,000 for heart surgery for this valve and that, but he wasn't doing it at all, just cut them open and sew them back up, and that he was killing people. Anybody, does that ring a bell for any shows out there? Yeah, missed that one. There's not a one of them. Why? Because they will always have you see them as something good. In fact, you can go to them and talk to them about whatever. Is that true? It's programming. So they can get you to lay your children or your wife or your body itself on their altar. They use fear just like an insurance salesman. But if you don't do something about that lump, let me tell you what could happen. You know, I'll tell you a story. I got a lot of stories along these lines. You want me to tell stories? Good, because I didn't do too much preparing for this sermon. Can you tell? But this is a true story. Happened about, I'm losing track of time, to be honest with you. I suspect 15 years ago or more, I was right here at the church and the phone rang. Not here at the church very often, but I was there that day and the phone rang. And the man on the other end was an elderly man, and he said, "Pastor Peters, my God, help me, they're killing me." And here was the story. He was from down around the Phoenix, Arizona area, and he was a dairyman. And he had dairied all his life. And I tell you what, that's a tough job. You have to milk morning and at night. And he finally sold his dairy, but he was so used to working, and he was in such good health, even though he was old. He would get on his bicycle and pedal down the road to his brother's dairy and help him dairy, because that's what he knew was work. One day he fell on his bike and hurt his knee. And as a result, the family took him to the hospital where he had one of these, I don't know what you call them, but his insurance was you have to go to this particular hospital. So what do you call that, Dan? Dr. Dan? Anyway, this hospital found out he had all this great insurance. He went in with a knee problem. The next thing you knew, he had all kinds of problems. And I was talking to him on the phone, and he knew that they were killing him. Well, I prayed with him. I mean, what can I do? And the next week, I was speaking in Phoenix. I got there, I met his daughter, and I went over there with the daughter and an elder of this church. And by the time I got to that hospital, it was a brand new hospital, multi-millions of dollars of a hospital, went up on the top floor or wherever it was, and it was intensive care. Brand new hospital, and in the middle all the way was the nurse's station with the glass all the way around it, and you could see the doctors in there wearing this dress like that. And all the way around it were these people that were in intensive care. Sad. You see them in. And I'm telling you the truth that the Holy Spirit spoke and said to me, "Pete, take a look and see what they're doing to my people." And I looked around, and I could see Amalekite doctor after Amalekite doctor. By the time I went in that room to pray with that man, he was unconscious. He had had several surgeries. I forget, but it was at least four or five from the knee. But what had happened, something happened when he was in there with his stomach. I know what happened. I'm going to tell you what I think happened. They saw the insurance policy, and they were able to cause different things to happen in his body that had to have surgery. Will you bet, doctor? It goes on, doesn't it? But the people look at me like I'm crazy. You want to talk about crazy? My wife and I was talking to her as we come down from the radio ranch. We have a kind of a ritual. We put in a Mozart just music in the background, and I study. She drives as we come here on Sunday morning. But I stopped, and I said, honey, what was that? Why did we go to that church up there in Colville that time? You know, what church is that? Some kind of Pentecostal church. Well, we just went there. I said, did you know the preacher or something? She said, no, we just decided to go see what a church, another church was like. We went to this church up there. This is true, isn't it right, Nancy? First of all, they stood there 15, 20 minutes singing, oh, blah, 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 oh, blah, blah. Finally, I just sat down. I wasn't singing anymore. You know, they've got everybody into a trance. And then the preacher got up, and he started talking about an illustration. And I thought to myself, man, how stupid can you be? This guy on a walk for cancer. You talk about these guys, how these Amalekite doctors, this whole system works. They've been raising money to find a cure for cancer for how long? That's like carburetor boys that make carburetors trying to raise money to find a cure for 20-mile-per-hour carburetors. We're trying to find a 100-mile-per-hour carburetor. Won't you donate to us? Yeah, excuse me. 20 miles per gallon versus 100 miles per gallon. Thank you. I did that just to see if anybody's paying attention. So anyway, the way this thing worked, I was sitting there listening in the audience. The preacher goes around to different businesses and say, well, how much will you give me if I walk 10 miles? Well, I'll give you $1 a mile, and then you get $5 a mile. And so he went out and he walked for cancer, so many miles, you know, and he's got these sponsors. And I thought, wouldn't it have been better just to pray all those hours if you really wanted a cure for cancer? How about pray for a cure? You know, but you don't have the standing in society. They have played mind games with us. And one of the mind games and one of the use on us is this, that life is precious. That is a damnable lie. Oh, have we all heard it, that life is precious? Oh, we've got precious lives in our lives that are precious to us. But let me tell you, if you want to know the truth, the truth is, precious is eternal life. Amen? And Abraham knew that when he took his son and laid him on the altar. He said, well, Lord, he's yours. I mean, he's yours all along. I sure like to keep him, but you know something, Lord? He's been yours all along. I've known people that have taken their babies and laid them on the altar of Baal and say, okay, carve on them, cut on them, do whatever you can, but we got to, life is precious, we got to save them. And the kid is a drooling and a suffering. I tell you, if my wife or my kids ever did that to me, I'd be so angry. You not! If you can't trust my God, amen? Am I saying that every doctor is bad? No, I'm really not saying that. But I'm saying this, there's a band of evildoers out there, and then there's a whole big band of them in that profession. Can you receive that? And who's saying it in the churches today? Not very many that I know of. Oh, but life is precious. I remember Brother Word one time telling us in chapel. He used to hold these big evangelistic meetings, tent meetings, back in the 30s. And during the day, he called calling. Knock on the door and invite people out, hand them a flyer, invite them out to the meeting. And then that night, he would hold the evangelistic meeting. One day, knocked on the door. Lady answered the door. She said, preacher, come in here. I can remember Brother Word telling this story. Oh, man, we're out of time. I'll tell you that story next week, okay? Encore. Preacher, come in here. And so he came in. She said, I want to show you something. I remember Brother Word telling me, in the middle of the living room was a 30-year-old man with diapers on, a drooling. And she says, I told God when he was a baby and he got sick, she said, I demanded of God that he not take my baby. And she said, and brother on this, you don't demand God to do anything. And so God gave her baby. I tell you, babies are cute when they're little, but not when they're 30. We had a little baby 1 pound, 8 ounces. I could tell you that story and don't have enough time to do it. You know the story. That we had here wouldn't pray with Jason and I against the snakes. Would he, Jason? Why? I figured it out now because he's part of them. Those dirty, damnable snakes at that children's hospital wanted to take a 1 pound, 8 ounce baby and do a what is it called? A lithus? What? Ligate deductus. By the way, I do have a doctor's degree, so I can wear this. It's a doctor of divinity, not an MD. MD murders devils. Those devils wanted to take a 1 pound, 8 ounce baby. It on its heart valve because there was a murmur there. Well, what do you expect, you dumb doctors? 1 pound, 8 ounces, you expect a fully developed heart? No, but they get $150,000 to $200,000 for the operation. Every one of those children in that place that were premature had one of those operations. Am I right? Everyone but that one, because we kept praying for her and those snakes couldn't get to her. And they went to the court who was going to try to force us to do it, and so forth and so on. I'm telling you, I could tell you doctor story after doctor story that they don't tell you on Dr. Kildare or ER or anything. And they certainly don't tell you in the pulpits of the churches today. And I'm telling you, there's a band of evildoers, and you'd better stay away. Sometimes you have to give your child to God. He's yours, his anyway. Amen. But you see, when they get caught up in the power of the dog and you can't get them out of the spell, it takes prayer and nothing else. I've been praying with a woman just last night for her son. Got a little lump. I'm going to tell you, I could tell you so much. You get lumps come and go all your life. But if you go to a doctor with a lump, the next thing you want is a biopsy test, and he'll put the fear of God Almighty in you and have the whole family. There's one family that's watching right now. Got the cutest little baby girl I've ever seen. Most well-mannered, happy baby, isn't it? She's going to write an article in the next Hand That Rocks Her Cradle, right? Well, the doctors were wanting to put in and take out her, do a hysterectomy. They called me, wanted to know. The family saying, you got to do it. You're going to die. The doctor said, you got to do it. You're going to die. And finally, and I said, let me pray about it. And I called her back. And I realized Jesus said, as be it done to you as unto your faith. And I could see she didn't have the faith. And I said, go ahead and let guts out. Nobody's accused your preacher of being charming. And you know what snapped her out of it? And she decided, I ain't going to let them cut my guts out with a hysterectomy. And she got her baby. Let me tell you, babes and men, God is great. Amen. Why not go to him if you got a bump or two? Rather than let them get another payment on their Mercedes and another operation, they're ready to do it. That young man, ready to go into operation tomorrow, we prayed for him today in Sunday school. Come to his senses. Let me tell you about a spell as we close out, and then we'll close out in song. We're going to go to Joel chapter 2. And I want to start with verse 19. But one thing I learned about a spell, we're in a spell, and they have the power, this band of evildoers, deliver me from the power of the dog, but only operates for a spell. And then the people come out of it. And God said, and as we're going to close out in song, we're not going to be able to have it all on the air because we're running out of time. And the song is the Four Horsemen. But it says in Joel, in closing passage, Joel 3, it says, there it is. And the Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I'm going to send you grain, new wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied and full with them. And I will never again make you a reproach among the nations. But I will remove the north. Is this Joel 19? Well, we're out of time, but let's get it. Joel 3:19. Egypt will become a waste, and Edom will become a desolate wilderness because of the violence done to the sons of Judah, in whose land they have shed. But Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem for all generations. And I will avenge their blood, which I have not avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are His, bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift His countenance upon you. Peace in Jesus' name. For us here, we still got time. Let's close out with a song, The Four Horsemen. Shall we stand?